you know, anywhere from maybe 15 to 30 minutes when they're just looking through. Tissue, no polyps to remove, you're in and out. If they do have to remove polyps, depending on where they're located and how many and what's safe to do, that can prolong the procedure.
Hey family, I'm Leon Guidry. Welcome to the Brother Be Well podcast. Our conversations focus on mental health and wellness. Our intent is to provide a safe space for boys and men of color to reduce disparities, remove stigma, heal trauma, and to end prolonged suffering. Listen up, y'all.
Hi, I'm Michael P. Coleman, content director for Brother Be Well. The 2020 passing of actor Chadwick Boseman at the age of 43 shocked his fans all over the world. He seemed healthy, right, at the time, but he died of colon cancer, which is highly preventable, we've learned, if it's caught and diagnosed early. The best way to detect and prevent colon cancer is probably the colonoscopy, a procedure that's recommended for all men and especially African-American men at age 45. There's a lot of apprehension and frankly, outright fear in our community about the procedure, but most of it, and I speak from experience, it's irrational. If TV news anchor Katie Couric can have a colonoscopy while broadcasting live on the air, and check it out, I'm sure it's on YouTube if you don't believe me, brothers, we can do this. So we're going to unpack colonoscopies and give you all of the information you need to know about the quick, painless outpatient procedure, including the pre- and post-op details. And to help us do that, one of our pros, Cherie Kreiner, registered nurse and vice president of the Capital City Black Nurses Association. Cherie, welcome back to Brother Be Well.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael. Let's dive right in.
Let's get in. Simply put, we want to have that colonoscopy if the doctor recommends it so that we don't get colon cancer. Rich people of color, and especially Black folks and Black men, have a higher risk of developing. Will you briefly walk us through why colon cancer and colonoscopies need to be on all of our radar, Cherie?
Right. So colon cancer itself is very treatable. And so colonoscopy gives us the gift of actually preventative care. So making sure that nothing is there, or if something is detected early in the colon, that we can treat it. There's over a 90% survival rate when colon cancer is treated early. So colonoscopy allows us to literally take a look and sample anything that we may need to provide the best treatment. Or, you know, if you're good to go, you only have to do it once every 2 years if you're low risk and nothing was found. So it's one of those things, Michael, that you just have to bite the bullet and get it done. And then you know where to go from there.
Yeah.
You said all the key words, easy, fast, you know, minimal. All those words are appropriate adjectives for colonoscopy. I would agree. Great way to explain it.
Thank you for that feedback. And that was, I had to learn the hard way, so to speak. I didn't know that going into my first and only one so far, but I found most of the fears and concerns to be completely irrational. We've got a separate podcast, as you well know, Cherie. You and I have already talked about colon cancer on this platform. So if you want to know all about colon cancer, go to brotherbewell.com and look for that podcast. But for the sake of those who haven't yet had a chance to listen to that one, what are the other risk factors for colon cancer?
So the other risk factors for colon cancer would be smoking, obesity, a high fat, low fiber diet, genetics. Also, if you have inflammatory disease of the bowel already, so Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, as well as just poor lifestyle. So sedentary lifestyle, you're not up and moving around a lot. So all of those typical poor lifestyle choices or medical conditions such as diabetes and obesity can lead to increasing your risk for an abnormal growth or colon cancer.
I appreciate you sharing that, Cherie. You've also shared that colon cancer is highly curable if it's caught early, as you just mentioned. The most effective screener is this colonoscopy. So let's get into this. Urban myths, that's what I'm calling them, about this procedure. They're almost legendary among men and Black men. We don't want to do it. We don't want to think about it. Most of those concerns are unfounded. Can you tell us exactly what a colonoscopy is? You've taught me that those words kind of reveal themselves. So colon and scope. Can you describe a colonoscopy for the Brother Be Well family?
That you're right, Michael. That's exactly what it is. It's a scope that we use to see, and that we can fit small instruments through to sample tissue that goes through the colon. So that, of course, is in through your rectum and up through your colon, which is your large intestine. So we're able to actually see what's going on in there. And we are also able to sample any abnormal tissue that we may see. So like a biopsy or sampling of the tissue to see what's going on. In fact, if there is a polyp, which could just be an overgrowth of cells that may not be cancerous, we're able to remove them as well during a colonoscopy. So it kind of works as diagnostic as well as a treatment for polyps when we're able to manage it with just that procedure alone. So it's kind of a twofer.
I'm so glad you mentioned the polyps, because when I was a few years ago getting ready for mine, I didn't even know what a polyp was. You said that's abnormal tissue, something that's not right in the lining of that colon.
Right. And it may not be cancerous, but it creates a polyp, a little small nodule there. And we're able to sample that tissue and or remove the polyp altogether while we're there. And then we check that tissue out in a lab to make sure that it's not cancerous, or if it's something else, we're able to identify what may be there.
Let's get further into the weeds on this, Cherie. The first and the most critical pre-op step for a colonoscopy is the prep. That's what people call it. I don't know if you in the industry call it that, but us on the street, we on the street call it the prep. We got to get our prep. Basically, you've got to clear your colon out so that the camera view, that scope, will be unobstructed, so the doctor can see what you're really looking at. I will say right here that maybe I overprepared mentally. Friends of mine who'd had it done described this, horrendous prep, this prep that would make you nauseous and you can't even stomach it. And you got to drink, I think, a gallon of it. And, oh, you're going to feel like you want to die and all of that. I didn't have that experience. I thought it didn't have a taste at all to me. It was a little thicker than maybe water or milk, so a little thicker than I'm used to, but it wasn't all that bad. Can you talk about exactly how we clear that colon via prep?
Well, firstly, I'd like to say we thank you dearly for clearing your colon before colonoscopy, because without it, it's like driving a Jeep Wrangler through the mud. We want to make sure that there's a clear path so we can see what we need to see. So the prep is very key in having a good colonoscopy. In fact, I would argue that if you don't prep well and we're not able to see, you may end up doing the procedure again. So completing the prep is important. There are different brands of prep out there. There's the gallon kind, as you mentioned. There's some that come in a smaller bottle and you drink water with it over a specific amount of time. But regardless of the type of prep, please complete the prep in the amount of time that you were told by your healthcare provider and finish it from start to end. It is very important to clear that colon out so that we are actually able to see. Without the colon being clear and removing all of that fecal matter, then we may not be able to do the exam to the extent that we need to. So it's a very important part is you doing your part first by completing that prep. I too have heard, Michael, that the taste isn't pleasant. I'd encourage you to just mind over matter, find out about it so that you're prepared. Some people liked it really cold because they felt like it tasted better, or some would let it get a little more to room temperature because they didn't want it cold. Whatever it takes to get through it. The important part is to actually complete the prep in its entirety. It's a number one important factor for us being able to do the colonoscopy when you arrive.
I got to tell you, Cherie, a Jeep Wrangler through the mud, I'll never forget that analogy. Never will forget that analogy. That's a great way to sort of think about it. Tell me a little bit before we move on to the next question. As you're doing the prep, you also have to restrict your diet a little bit. Clear liquids, I've learned, you have to only do clear liquids as you get closer and closer to your procedure date. But am I correct in the information I found? Coffee and tea were on the list that I found, and most people don't think of coffee or tea as clear. So can you just kind of clarify that, correct me, or clarify that point if you would?
Coffee and tea are clear liquids, but you want to make sure that you don't add anything to them. So no sugar, or a cream or anything like that, because that would make it not clear. But coffee and tea do count. Water, broth, plain gelatin. Your healthcare provider should give you a list. But basically, these are the types of clear liquids are liquids that we consider non-residue leaving, liquids that you can take in. So it won't leave anything behind in the colon. So yes, you mentioned water, coffee, tea, Pedialyte, things like that, that will not leave any residue behind.
Got it. In addition to the prep, another part of this colonoscopy thing that makes, I never presume to speak for all men, even here at Brother Be Well, but every man I have spoken to practically, we get a little skittish about, listen to me stammering here, Sheree, I can't even get this sentence out. The whole probe in the rectum part isn't something that a lot of men want to think about. And it's necessary that we don't just think about it. We got to get the procedure done. Can you just clarify, we are talking about a fairly small probe, right?
Absolutely. A fairly small probe, not much larger than the width of a finger. It's as small as it could be and be effective enough to get to where we need it to go to. Michael, you know what this reminds me of? It makes me think of my brother. His number one rule is like, I don't care what they do as long as they don't touch my butt. That's his motto. And I was like, well, you know, sometimes we have to do an exam there. But it is, the colonoscopy scopes are made to be as comfortable as possible given the type of exam. So only what is necessary to go through. Any instruments that would be used fit within the width of that scope, so nothing gets any larger than the scope. And then we prepare you both before the procedure and during the procedure for comfort. So most people don't even recognize they're having it done or have any discomfort during the procedure. And the biggest discomfort post-procedure is an extreme amount of farting, but it's really not even gas from your digestive tract. It's because we pump air into the colon to inflate it so that we can see. So you're really just giving us back the air we gave you. But that's the biggest downside that people report after is a lot of farts.
Well, I didn't even, I was just a high achiever, Sheree. I didn't have that problem either. And so maybe I was just a poster child for having this done with as little negative impacts as possible. Let's talk about the sedation for this. I was very happy. I had a friend who swore that he had had a colonoscopy with no sedation. I have since found out that he was incorrect about that. But at the time I had mine, he was preaching about his colonoscopy with no sedation. And I couldn't even imagine having that procedure without something. I don't remember a single thing about my own, although later when I kind of came out of it, my doctor said, hey, Mike, you were awake the whole time. We were talking to you. We're making sure you were comfortable. We asked you to tell us a couple questions to make sure you were still with us. I've learned that propofol, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, is typically administered before colonoscopy. If I'm right about that, can you tell us about that seemingly really powerful sedative? It's got to be powerful if I don't have any memory of anything that occurred, but the doctor insisted I was awake the whole time.
Right. So propofol is a short-acting sedative. It decreases your level of consciousness, and it also has an amnesia effect, so it makes you forget. So technically, you're not completely sedated like you would if you were going through general anesthesia of a surgery. You're in somewhat of a twilight, we call it, where you have a lower level of consciousness, and we are also giving you something to forget, but you're still breathing, arousable, there, not fully sedated or asleep. So it's a way to kind of relax you, give you some sleepiness so we can get the procedure done. And then it's really easy to come out of it as well. So it's short acting. It happens really fast. The onset is like 15 to 30 seconds once they give it to you in your IV. As you may remember, they may tell you to count backwards or to count sheep, and you can't get past a couple before the memory just goes.
Wow. You just called it. That's exactly what my doctor did. He said, okay, we've just administered it. I want you to count down from 10. And my first thought was, oh, it's going to take way longer than 10 because I was so nervous. I don't remember getting past 8. I said 10, 9, 8. And then that's the last thing I remember until I was kind of waking up. So it is super powerful. And I'm glad about that amnesia effect, because maybe I don't want to remember what happened. But I do know that there was no discomfort on my part. And it was really, really quick. And speaking of it being really quick, let's go there, Cherie. How long does a colonoscopy procedure typically last?
So, Michael, that really depends on their findings. So, you know, anywhere from maybe 15 to 30 minutes when they're just looking through and it's, you know, healthy tissue, no polyps to remove, you're in and out. If they do have to remove polyps, depending on where they're located and how many and what's safe to do, that can prolong the procedure. But this is typically an outpatient, you go in, get it done and return home the same day, quick turnaround procedure.
And speaking of the quick turnaround, I was also happy to hear that one has been through the prep, you've got to restrict your diet. That last day, I think you can't eat anything at all other than those clear liquids. So most people are really hungry going into that. But I was happy to hear, I thought I'd come out of there, and I enjoy spicy foods, for instance. I thought I would have to restrict my diet initially coming out. And the doctor said, nope. You know, once you're up and around, you know, you can eat whatever you want to eat. Go back to eating whatever you want to eat. So is that true, too? You can get back to your regular life fairly quickly.
Right back to normal. And the only reason people tend to take off is because you are getting that sedation, which everyone has a different kind of time it takes their body to filter it out. So you may not be completely yourself. You're not able to operate heavy machinery and things like that immediately after. But absolutely, as far as your diet, you get right back to whatever foods that you normally eat. And as that sedative wears off, then you can get back to your regular activities of your life.
But before we get into the final question about how frequent you've got to do this one, I want to share that because I mentioned my fear going into this, I actually, Cherie, put my procedure off at that time. Now it's 45. Then it was 50 years old. You're supposed to have one. And when I turned 50, I put it off for almost a year. And I didn't even realize I was doing it. I was coming up with one excuse after the next. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got a vacation plan. And after the third or fourth one, when I realized we're wrapping up on a year, I realized what I was doing. And I said, you know what? I worked too hard to try to be healthy. I've got kids I want to be here for the long haul. I've got to go do this. So I was thrilled to hear coming out of that my colon was completely healthy, not a single polyp. Even the doctor was surprised because he said most people hear diverticulitis. Have I used the right term there, Cherie?
Yes.
He said, I had a little diverticulitis. He said, but most people with Western diets, if you eat a lot of meat or you grew up eating meat, you're going to have a little of that, but not a single polyp. And I remember lying there and I was just stunned, happily stunned, because of all the irrational fears that I had taught myself into. And really my colonoscopy, I viewed that as sort of a second shot. I said, boy, I dodged a bullet. I spent almost 50 years eating every hamburger I wanted to eat and a lot of fried food and all of that. I got to get serious about this now because it was healthy. And that leads me up to our next question. He said, we'll see in 10 years. And so I said, you know, I'm gonna spend the next decade really taking care of the only colon I've got and making sure I'm as healthy as I can be so I don't have to go in fearful. Is that accurate? If you came through it with flying colors, so to speak, you don't have to go back for 10 years.
Yeah, the current recommendation is 10 years, and that's for a negative exam. So an exam where there were no findings or no major findings. And if you're at low risk or not at high or very high risk, then it's 10 years. So if someone did have findings or there were polyps or things that they had to investigate, they may suggest a sooner exam, which may be in the 3 or 5 year range, depending on what they find. But it's still a significant amount of time because colon cancer, even when found, is very slow growing. So it's not something you have to do every year like with your other preventative tests, but it's worthwhile doing exactly like you said, get it out of the way, see where you are, and then you're able to move forward.
Yeah. Really appreciate your time on this one. And Cherie, I got to tell you, I can't think of another person, male or female, that I would have felt comfortable talking about all this with. So thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to help.
Have we missed anything before I let you go? Anything else that our folks, our Brother Be Well family, would need to know about colonoscopies?
I just want to remind everyone that colonoscopy is a safe way to preventative preventatively check out your colon, that it's tried and true. It's the best way to do. Follow your doctor's recommendation and bet on yourself. If everything is fine, great. If it's an early detection, also great, because we know the cure rate is so high. So don't count yourself out early. Do your preventative tests to prevent yourself from dying of a very curable cancer.
Really love that final word from you, Cherie Kreiner, registered nurse and vice president of the Capital City Black Nurses Association. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
And thanks to you for listening in. We don't take that for granted that you took a little time out to check out what we were talking about here at Brother Be Well. If you've enjoyed this conversation, you want to learn more about this topic or any one of a number of health topics, mental, physical, or otherwise, check us out at brotherbewell.com. We're designed to support the health and well-being of boys and men of color, 13 and up, Asian and Pacific Islander, Native and Indigenous, Latinx, and African-American, and the LGBTQIA+ community members that inform and enrich those cultural communities. So check all of that out at brotherbewell.com. My name, Michael P. Coleman, content director for Brother Be Well, asking you quickly, do two things for me. Take great care of yourself and take great care of somebody else. Until next time, bye-bye.
This has been the Brother Be Well podcast. I'm Leon Guidry. Shout out to our sponsors, Sutter Health and the Sacramento County Division of Behavioral Health Services through the voter-approved Proposition 63 Mental Health Services Act. And don't forget our goals: to reduce disparities, remove stigma, heal trauma, and to end prolonged suffering. If you have feedback on today's episode, tweet us at Brother Be Well or email info@brotherbewell.com. Click the subscribe button right now and plan to join us next time. Until then, be well, brothers.